This weekend, we've been under a divine transfusion.
Amen.
Have you been transfused?
Amen.
As I've been sitting here message by message, I just feel like I got hooked up. The brothers have been transfusing.
Amen.
Christ into us.
Amen.
Transfusing a vision of what it is to be an age turner.
Yeah.
To have a life and a work that would turn the age.
Wow.
Oh, this is so precious. Dear young people, because you've been here this weekend, you've been under the sound of this word. You know what that means? That means that the Lord intends to make each of you an age turner. Who else is hearing this word? 2 weeks ago, there was another group of precious college students like you. Yeah, who heard this word. But besides us, in all of our campuses in Southern California, who else has heard such a word? Who else knows that the age needs to be turned? Who? No one is under the sound of this word. What a privilege that we could be here.
Amen.
Hearing these words.
Amen.
The Lord is speaking these words to us.
Amen.
Because He wants us to be the ones to turn the age.
Amen.
He needs us. He desires us to respond to this word. I was just reminded this morning in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord said these words. He said, "Everyone therefore, 7:24 and 25, who hears these words of mine." Have you heard the words of the Lord?
Amen.
Has the Lord spoken to you personally? Right? Message by message, the Lord is speaking to us. "Everyone therefore who hears these words of mine and does them." The Lord doesn't want us just to hear, just to receive, just to believe. He wants us to do them. He wants us to practice them. He wants us to live in this way. If you do them, you know what you shall be like? You shall be like a prudent man who built his house upon the rock.
Amen.
A prudent man. You are very wise. If you hear the word this weekend, and if you do them, if you apply them, if you experience them, you are very wise. It's like building your house on a rock. You know, I know some geologists, they like to build their houses up here in the mountains. Did you know that? Yeah. Some at the universities, Riverside and San Bernardino. I heard the geologists, they know where all the fault lines are. So they know to build their house on a rock. Yeah, they have their houses in the mountains. Yeah, they don't build them down in the valley, right where the fault, they know where the fault lines are. Yeah, don't build your house on that street. When the big one comes, it might be gone. Are you a wise person? Are you wise? If you're wise, you will do all that the Lord has spoken to us.
Amen.
And you know what happens if you build your house on the rock? The rain descended. The rain is from heaven. Right? The rain is from heaven, from God. There will be rains. Brother Mark shared with us last night. All of us will encounter some rains, some flood, some situations. The rains will descend from God. You know what will happen? The rivers will come. The rivers come from man. We'll be in different human situations, right? We can never avoid suffering. If you're a human being, suffering will come. And you know what else will come? The winds will blow. These are from Satan. Rains from God, rivers from man, winds from Satan. But don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Why? They beat against that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock.
Amen.
It was founded on the rock. All the things, we don't even know what will come in our human life. We don't even know how long we have in our human life. But I can assure you, if we take these words of the Lord, if we do them, if we practice them, if we apply them, The Lord has promised us that we will have a house that's on the rock. We will build up something that will stand when the floods come, right? We will build up something, as we heard last night, that will float into the next age. Oh, this is precious, young people, that we could hear these words.
Amen.
So we've heard a number of words this weekend. We began with the days of Noah. Have you seen it? Have you seen the days of Noah? Have you seen the days today? That the days we're living in are the days of Noah.
Amen.
Right? It was so clear, as our brother shared, to see the age we are living in, to see an age full of evil things, immorality, violence, and just occupation with things other than God's purpose. Right? So many things. When we see this age, do we have God's feeling, as our brother shared last night? God's feeling concerning this age and concerning the man that He made so personally. Right? God's feeling, He was grieved. He was grieved with this situation on the earth. As one sister shared last night in the testimonies, surely the Lord, as He looks at the earth today, wouldn't He be grieved today? If He was grieved at Noah's time, how about today? The Lord, surely as He looks at the earth overall, surely there's a feeling of grief. And you know, we need to enter into this feeling. You know what Matthew 5:4 says? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Have you ever mourned for the situation? In the footnote in our study Bible, it says this regarding the situation. The entire situation of the world is negative toward God's purpose. Satan, sin, self, darkness, and worldliness predominate among all people on earth. God's glory is insulted. Christ is rejected. The Holy Spirit is frustrated. The church is desolate. Self is corrupt, and the whole world is evil. God wants us to mourn over such a situation. Right? I just, when our brother was sharing Friday night, I just, within me, that was my feeling. Lord, how can you have a way on this earth when we look at the situation? So this is how we enter into God's feeling. But it doesn't stop there. So you're blessed if you mourn. Have you ever heard such a word? Only the Bible would say this, huh? Be happy. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. But God says, blessed are those who mourn. When you really see the world situation, it should cause us to have a feeling. But the Lord says also, if we mourn, you shall be comforted.
Amen.
Oh, you shall be comforted.
Amen.
This morning I'm comforted.
Amen.
Why? Because I see you.
Amen.
Aren't you comforted by seeing each other this weekend?
Amen.
We look at the world situation, mourn. We look at what the Lord's doing on our campus, comforted.
Amen.
You know the Lord, know who He is? He is another comforter. He was the comforter in His incarnation. And He said, I will send you another comforter who will be with you. And actually, that comforter is just Himself as the Spirit, right? We are comforted when we see each other, when we see what the Lord is doing in the church life. This is a great comfort to us, right? When we see what He's doing with each one of us, He's gaining us. This comforts us. So this is how we enter into the Lord's feeling. We see the age we're living in the days of Noah. Then we saw the faith of Noah yesterday morning. The faith of Noah. In such a situation, but Noah found grace.
Amen.
Isn't that a comfort?
Amen.
But Noah found grace. Oh, saints, there's this person who could find grace in the eyes of Jehovah. Every day, we need to have this experience of finding grace. Grace is in His face, right? If you want to enjoy grace, if you want to have grace time, you need to have face time. Do you have face time with the Lord? You might have face time with other people. Oh, it's so good to see you. Right? Isn't it a difference when you see someone and communicate than when you're just on the phone and communicate? Right? And then email is even more disconnected. You can just send things you don't want to tell people. Just send an email or a text. Yeah, sorry, I can't make it to the meeting. Right? But what if every text you had to have your face there? You send the brothers, oh, sorry, brothers, I can't make the appointment. And your face was there. And the brother could look and you see your face. Really? you can't make the meeting? Are you sure, brother? Right? Oh, it makes a difference when you have your face. Right? When you communicate face to face. This is what the Lord wants with you. Have you built up this time with the Lord? For those that have, you know how precious it is. Right? Just to spend a few moments a day in the morning when you get up, just to have some face time. Amen. Right? It's in His face that we receive the grace. And it's by receiving the grace that we can live in this corrupted age. There's no other way. Don't you have that feeling sometimes as you're walking on campus and there's just so many distractions? Right? You're driving and there's billboards. You're walking through the line getting some groceries and there's those magazines. You're just, Lord, Lord, I need Your grace. Lord, I can't make it without Your grace. Right? This should be our feeling. This should be our experience. If we really see the age,
Amen.
We realize there's no way without the grace of God. Only the grace. And Noah lived a life, right? Finding grace. And he lived by faith. By faith. He didn't see things. Right? We know from the Word, there hadn't even been rain on the earth. There was a dew, there was a mist that went to water the garden in Eden. There had never been rain. But God said, the flood was coming. Build the ark. Nobody ever saw this before. Nobody ever saw judgment. You talk to your friends, God's going to judge the earth. Yeah, right. Even government doesn't judge properly today, right? There's unrighteousness in government. You think God's going to come and judge? People will mock you, will laugh at you, just like they did Noah. But we live by faith.
Amen.
Everything in the Christian life is by faith. We don't see it, but it's real.
Amen.
And how do we have faith? It's because of the Word. Now let me ask you, did Noah read the Bible? There wasn't a Bible at Noah's time. Yeah. So you know how Noah got faith? It was because his forefathers spoke to him. Yeah, they spoke. They spoke the Word. And we'll get to this today. Through the speaking of the Word, we receive faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Right? Romans 10:17. Never forget that verse. This is how we receive faith. Through the speaking of the Word. So Noah was under the speaking. How many of us today have been under the speaking? Right? Since you came up Friday, maybe Friday you came up, and you had one view. Today, as you go down, you have another view.
Amen.
I believe all of us, our view has changed.
Yeah.
We see things that we didn't see before. Why? Because we've been under the speaking of faith.
Amen.
The Word of faith infuses us. So every day you need to be in the Word. If you're not in the Word, then you start to lose the vision. Oh, maybe it's not so bad. I don't know. The brothers, maybe they were too much. But you just stay in the Word. Believe me, you will have more faith. You will see more than you've seen this weekend if you stay in the Word day by day. This is how we have a life by faith. Then in the salvation of Noah, we saw last night, we need to believe and be baptized. Oh, we're looking forward to some baptisms today. If the Lord's moved in you, right? You have that feeling, I need to be baptized. We are standing 100% with you.
Amen.
We will all support you. That you would take this way. This is the way that we can be saved from this evil generation. Believing saves us from God's condemnation. Baptism saves us from the world.
Amen.
This is very crucial for us to go on with the Lord. If you're not baptized, you're saved. You have eternal life. You will never perish. But your experience of God's salvation is not complete. Right? Mark 16:16. Believe and be baptized and you shall be saved.
Amen.
Isn't that good, Gino?
Yeah, pretty good.
Very good. Have you been baptized, Gino?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Gino, you are saved.
Amen.
So when we believe and are baptized, we enter into the ark in one aspect, right? We enter into Christ, but we need to build up the ark. You say, I already entered into the ark.
Yeah,
but Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation. There's another aspect of salvation that we need to work out. On one side, we just believe. We just enter in. He's done it all. But on another side, we need to build up. We need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Right? Lord, I want to build up a salvation. I want to build up the practical and present Christ in my experience that I have something to enter into. John 15 says, abide in me. You have to build up something that you can abide in. If you don't experience the Lord day by day, then you have nothing to enter into in the next age. Today, we have to spend our time to build up Christ, to gain Christ, to enjoy Christ, to be with each other, right? This is how we build up the ark. We build up the ark. We experience Him individually. We experience Him corporately. We bring our experience of Christ together. And that is the ark, right? This is the ark that we need to enter into that will save us. This morning, we come to the last outline. Can we read the title together? Let's read the title of message 4 on page 21. Okay?
Testimony of Noah.
The testimony of Noah. So we've seen the days of Noah. We've experienced the faith of Noah. We've seen the salvation of Noah. Now we need to see finally the testimony of Noah. What testimony did Noah have at that time? He was building. But he had a testimony. He had an expression. He was also doing something else in addition to building. And I'd like to ask you, how is your testimony? What testimony do you have? On your campus? With your family? Right? What kind of a testimony do we have? What kind of a living do we have? What kind of an expression do we have? We all need to have a testimony. Like Noah had. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. The whole earth having become corrupted, God came and called Noah to be a herald of righteousness, and he preached the righteous words of God
for 120 years.
We see this in the first verse here, and this is a good one to remember. 2 Peter 2:5. God did not spare the ancient world, but guarded Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly.
Wow.
Noah was a herald of righteousness. A herald is an official reporter. A herald. Yeah. To proclaim, right? To speak out, to tell out, something important. Noah was a herald of righteousness. Righteousness. This morning we want to say a lot about righteousness. What does it mean to be righteous? Do you have a righteous testimony? Let's see. In letter A. Letter A says, Noah believed in God and as a result became a righteous person. So this is the first aspect. We believe in God and we're righteous. A righteous person is this, who was right with God, right with others, and right with himself. Let me ask you, are you right with God? This morning, are you right with, are you completely right with God in every aspect? Can you say, I have a pure conscience? You know, God was very wise when he created man with a body, soul, and spirit. When man fell, right? What happened? Right at that time of man's fall, something in man was activated called the conscience. The conscience. God just, yeah, Satan has his plan and God has his way to preserve man, to keep man. Your conscience is part of your spirit. When we talk about exercise our spirit, we also mean exercise your conscience. Many times we just think of the fellowship with the Lord. And fellowship is one function of our spirit, that we fellowship with the Lord, we enjoy the Lord. But let me tell you, the conscience is the main part of our spirit, the leading part of our spirit. If you want to enjoy fellowship with God, you have to be right with God. You have to take care of your conscience. Paul testified that he had a conscience without offense toward God and toward man. This was Paul's testimony. Paul's testimony. What about our testimony? Are we right with God in every matter? Then right with others. And then even right with ourselves. Right with ourselves. You might ask, how do I know if I'm right? Well, let me tell you this. You know that you're right with God, with others, with yourselves, by the issue of righteousness, which is peace. Righteousness always brings in peace. So I can ask you this. This morning, as you're sitting there, as you're listening, do you have peace? Do you have full peace? We sang the song. Right? Propitiation made by the blood. Jesus' redemption bought us for God. No condemnation. Justification. We have peace toward God.
Amen.
And this is true. When we believe in the Lord, we're justified. We're approved by God. No condemnation. We have peace toward God. But day by day, we need to maintain that peace. Maintain that peace. By continuing Amen. To take care of our conscience,
yes.
right? To be right with God. Amen. Anything that the Lord's touching you with, you need to clear up. Maybe on the way here, you're in the car and somebody said something, right? And maybe when they said something, you just laughed. You just laughed. But that laugh, it wasn't a righteous laugh. You know, even our laugh could be unrighteous. It could offend someone. Yeah. Sometimes we laugh, and our laugh is just kind of a putting down laugh. Have you ever experienced that? You shared something, you opened something, and people just laughed about it. Yeah. You were hoping for understanding, but instead they're just... just a laugh, right? We may have spoken to each other this morning in a way that wasn't so good, wasn't righteous, right? The Lord, I can't tell you what's righteous. The Lord within you will tell you, right? The Lord, dear saints, the Lord is so fine The Lord is so fine. When we really know the Lord, we really enjoy the Lord is so fine. You know, righteousness comes out of grace. Let me just put this on the board here. These really go together. First of all, as we said, Noah believed God. So you have the word faith. Sorry for those that are on the sides. I'm just writing the word faith. Yeah, faith. Faith, right? When we believe in God, we have faith, then we're righteous. So I wrote the word righteous. Faith, arrow down, righteous. We believe in God, we're righteous. But this is one aspect of righteousness. This is referred to as objective righteousness. That's just before God. That's outward. God approves of us. But you know what? We also need to experience more grace. And grace brings us to righteousness and produces righteousness in us, which is a subjective righteousness. It means it's part of our being. It's what we are. Not only is our standing before God righteous through our faith in Christ, but as we enjoy the Lord, as we fellowship with Him, as we come to the throne of grace, what happens? We experience the Lord as our righteousness. He becomes our righteousness. Yeah, that means He's lived out of us. He's expressed through us. This is the righteousness that the Lord desires. And actually, these are connected to each other. One of the brothers shared in the testimonies. I've just enjoyed all the speaking this week, and it's been wonderful. Romans 5:2, right? When you look at Romans 5:2, it shows us that faith, right, brings us grace. Through faith, we are now standing in grace. Are you standing in grace? Through your faith, you're brought into grace. Yeah. So these all go together. But the Lord wants to produce in us righteousness. Dear young people, grace is not the end. Grace must produce righteousness. Amen. When we really enjoy grace, there should be a righteous expression. Christ should be expressed through us. If you think you're enjoying grace, there should be righteousness. If righteousness doesn't come out of you, that's not really grace. That's something else. We may be enjoying the Lord in the meeting. Oh, what an enjoyment I had. And then after the meeting, where do we go? Right? What do we say? What do we do? The enjoyment of grace always issues in righteousness. Right with God, right with others, right with ourselves.
Amen.
This is what Noah had, and this is what we need. If you want to speak righteousness, you need to become righteousness. To be a herald of righteousness is not just to speak about it. First of all, you see that in letter A? Noah believed in God, and as a result, became a righteous person. This is the first thing, dear saints. We need to become a righteous person. Enjoying grace issues in a righteous expression. Now, let me give you another definition of righteousness. We've mentioned already it's to be right with God, right with others, right with ourselves. We say righteousness is also to live out Christ, to express Christ. This is true. There was another a very good note in Matthew chapter 3, I believe it is, 15. Matthew 3:15. It says this. It says to be right, to be righteous is to be right by living, walking, and doing things in the way God has ordained. To be righteous is to be right by living, walking, and doing things in the way God has ordained. This is to be righteous. In the beginning, God ordained that a man and a woman would come together and be joined in marriage. This is God's ordination. One man and one woman to be joined together in marriage. This is God's ordination. To be righteous is to live, to walk, right? And to do things in the way God has ordained. If a person gets married, they get married in their 20s, love their wife, they have kids, and then maybe 20 years later, the man, he says, "Man, you know what? My wife's getting a little older, and boy, there's this young lady at my work, and she's really pretty. You know what? I think I'm just going to get a divorce." Yeah. What is that? Unrighteousness. God ordained one man for one woman. The world today, young people, filled with unrighteousness. Filled with unrighteousness. If we want to be righteous, we have to take God's way. God's way in marriage. What about salvation? Have you met some on the campus? I remember preaching the gospel to some. And he said, "Oh yeah, you know, we need to believe in the Lord, receive the Lord." He said, "You know what? That's good for you. But you know what? I just think if I'm a good person, God, He'll accept me. Yeah, if I just live a good life, I do good things for people, you know, I think that's good enough." Have you met such people, right, when you preach the gospel? Yeah, just a good life. If I live a good life, I'll be accepted. But you know what? The Lord says, if we do not believe in Christ, this is the greatest sin. This is the greatest sin, is to not believe into Christ. There is salvation in no other. There's no other way. Good works cannot save man. Only faith in Christ can save you. This is God's way. If you don't take God's way, doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter what you do, you will not be saved. You will not be saved. We have to take God's way. Or others you meet, you preach the gospel. "Oh, you know what? I know there's one God, but you know what? I just think there's many ways to God." Have you met this one? "Yeah, you know, Islam, that's one way. And, you know, we just have different ways, you know, Buddhist. And yeah, I think, yeah, that's good for you. You know, you believe in Jesus, but you know, I'm looking around. I think we can all find our way to God. Can we all get along and find our way to God?" No. John 14:6. "I am the way."
Amen.
He is the way to God. There's no other way, right? Have we spoke this to our friends, or do we just say, "You know, maybe you're right"? When we preach the gospel to others, do we receive others' gospel? Do you know what I'm saying? We're going to speak. We're going to speak the word. But maybe as we speak, maybe, I don't know. Maybe there are other ways. That sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? Like there'd be a lot of ways, you know, other people and other cultures. Yeah, maybe that's true. No, young people. God is righteous. Yeah, it's a matter of righteousness. We have to take the way God has ordained. The only way of salvation is in His Son. Right? He is the way. He is the way. Now, even young people, even to build the ark, this is righteous. This is right. This is God's way of righteousness. This is God's ordained way. You say, "Well, I'm saved. I believed in the Lord. I think if I just come on Sunday, that'll be good enough." But the Lord has shown us His way. He's shown us the design, right, of the ark, how to build the ark. He's shown us the way of salvation. We have to build up Christ. Say, "I believe in Christ. Isn't that good enough?" But if we would take God's way, Right? This is the way God has ordained. Even sometimes we say something called the God-ordained way to build up the church. This is God's way. God has a way. We need to preach the gospel. We need to shepherd our friends, right? We need to perfect them. We need to be built up together.
Amen.
This is God's way. There's no other way. So to be righteous is to live, walk, and do things in the way God has ordained. Oh, young people, this is precious. If the Lord could bring us into a righteous living, a righteous living. Now, it says in the last part of that point, we too must seek the surpassing righteousness, which is just Christ Himself. Christ Himself. He is the surpassing righteousness. In Matthew, this verse, Matthew 5:20, it says this, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall by no means enter into the kingdom of the heavens." To be saved, we just need to believe in Christ. But to enter into the kingdom of the heavens, that is to enter into the kingdom as our reward. That is to be floated into the next age. We need surpassing righteousness. Faith is enough to receive eternal life, to be in the New Jerusalem. But in order to be in the kingdom, to have the reward, you know what you have to have? Righteousness. Surpassing righteousness. The Pharisees thought they were pretty righteous. They were self-righteous. Self-righteous. But they didn't have the surpassing righteousness. The surpassing righteousness. If we look in Matthew, we see right after the Lord spoke this, in verse 20, He said, you have to have the surpassing righteousness. Then He says, you have heard it was said to the ancients, you shall not murder. Whoever murders shall be liable to the judgment. This was the Old Testament law. In 22, the Lord says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to the judgment. When the Lord came, He fulfilled the law. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. He fulfilled all the requirements of the law. He died to fulfill the requirements of the law. And you know what He did? He uplifted the law. He uplifted the standard of righteousness. Now the standard is much higher. It's not just to not kill. Pharisees say, oh, look at me. I didn't kill anybody. I'm a good man. The Lord said, if you were angry with your brother, you murdered him. Wow. What does the Pharisee say? Ooh. Right? You can't fulfill that. The Lord goes on to speak of many, many different things. Right? The standard is higher, much higher today. You know what? It's so high that none of us can fulfill it. In Romans 3, you know what it says about our righteousness? Romans 3:10. There is none righteous, not even one. None of us is righteous in ourselves. In Isaiah 64:6, listen to this. For all of us became like Him who is unclean, and all our righteousnesses are like a soiled garment. Another translation says, filthy rags. All of our righteousness is like filthy rags, a soiled garment. This is our righteousness. So what do we need? We need Christ. Oh, we need Christ. Only through our believing in Christ can we be righteous in God's eyes. Only by our enjoying grace can we become those who are righteous before the Lord. You know, when the Lord came, He was the righteous one. We know the Lord was righteous. And you know what the Lord did? just an encouragement for those this morning. In Matthew 3:15, he came to John to be baptized. The Lord was baptized. Hallelujah. Why was he baptized? Because as a man in the flesh, he realized that he needed to be baptized. He needed to be put to death. You say he was God, but God in the flesh. He was related to the flesh. He didn't have the sin of the flesh, but he had the flesh of sin. He was related to the flesh. So he put that to death. The Lord said to John, Jesus answered, said to him, permit it for now. Because John said, no, you don't need to be baptized. I need to be baptized by you. Jesus said, permit it for now, John. For it is fitting for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness.
Amen.
The Lord fulfilled all righteousness. Everything the Lord did was according to God's ordained way. He's the only man who lives such a life, fully righteous. But you know, I was amazed by this. The Lord was fully righteous. But if we read in Matthew 9, the Lord's amazing. We really need to learn of Him. The Lord, when He called Matthew, Matthew was a tax collector, said, Matthew, follow me. Matthew left his job, followed the Lord. Some of us should be like that. Serve the Lord full time. Blessed are those who follow the Lord with their full time. Maybe you go work for the IRS, and then the Lord will call you. Come and follow me. And what happened? Matthew followed the Lord, and Matthew made a great feast for the Lord. And Matthew called all his buddies. Listen to this. Matthew 9:10. And as he was reclining at table in the house, whose house? Matthew's house. But Matthew didn't tell us it was his house, because Matthew was humble. Matthew was a sinner that was saved by God. He was, can you imagine? Jesus was reclining. He was relaxed. He was just comfortable in a sinner's house. And you know what happened? Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and reclined together with Jesus and his disciples. I just love this verse. Doesn't this verse just, don't you love this verse? Jesus is there reclining in a tax collector's house. Tax collector equals sinner. Yeah, tax collector, sinner, those go together. Yeah, in the old days. Modern tax collector, gangster. Yeah. 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 In the ministry it says, yeah, the Lord came. The Lord came to the gangsters. The Lord came to be with the... Could you do this, right? Could you go and just be with sinners? But yet, you're righteous. Yeah. Everything you do is righteous. You go into an unrighteous place, but you're a righteous person. And you never commit unrighteousness. Only Jesus can do this. Only Jesus can do this. Only a God-man can live a righteous life in a place of unrighteousness. Meaning, only the Lord can be a college student on your campus. Only the Lord can do it. There's just unrighteousness everywhere. You need to find grace. You need to have the Lord. You know what grace is? Let's see, is there a smaller brother than... Yeah, maybe this brother here. Could you help me, brother?
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. You know what grace is? I just enjoyed in our brother sharing yesterday. He said that grace is God coming, right? Coming to us. Grace isn't something that God gives to us. So you say, Lord, I need grace.
Lord, I need grace.
All right, here you go. All right, you got grace. See you later. That's not grace, right? Grace is not something God gives to us apart from Himself. Grace is God coming to us.
Amen.
And I enjoyed a few grace hugs from the brothers. Amen. I hope we're not, you know, starting anything here. But anyway, praise the Lord. But a good grace hug, too, is to say, Lord, we love you.
Lord, we love you.
Lord, we love you.
Lord, we love you.
Amen. We say, Lord, I love you with the brother.
Amen.
That's like a grace hug too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. So, no, I'm not done.
Okay.
So I come to him. I come to him. Now I come to him to be with him.
Amen.
Right? And did you catch it? To do everything with him. Yeah, this is the Lord. He's coming to us to be with us, to do everything with us. So you go to school. Yeah, you go to school. You need to do your homework, right, brother?
Amen.
But instead of your homework, yeah, you want to do other things, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're doing other things, right? But you say, Lord, I need you as grace. Say, Lord, I need you as grace.
Lord, I need you as grace.
All right, I'm here.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I need to study.
Lord, I need to study.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen.
Equals.
Lord, I don't know how to solve this algebra question. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. Lord, what should I do, Lord? Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Do you see what grace is?
Amen.
Do you want to live a life without grace?
No.
Oh, how precious it is.
Amen.
To do everything with him.
Amen.
Oh, let's go to the cafeteria. Let's go meet the brothers.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord wants water today.
Amen.
Instead of a monster. Maybe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the Lord wants water instead of monster. Are you with me? Everything. He just wants to be with you.
Amen.
All your decisions, all your living will just be with this one.
Amen.
And you know what that living is? That is righteousness. That's a righteous living.
Amen.
Brother, you're righteous right now. How do you feel?
Righteous.
Righteous. But you know what the feeling is? Peace.
Peace.
Don't you just feel peace right here?
Yes.
Just peaceful, right?
Amen.
And you know what? You know what the Lord is? The Lord is in heaven. The Lord is in our spirit. And you know what he's doing? He's smiling.
Mm.
The Lord is smiling at us. This is his face. His face is just... When you look at the Lord, right, and you're doing things with him in grace,
yeah,
and you're righteous, you're just so happy, aren't you?
Yes.
Isn't this the way to live?
Yeah.
This is the way to live.
Amen.
Man, I don't want to live any other way. Hallelujah. Lord
Amen.
Jesus. Amen. Let me take notes with you, Lord. Oh, yeah, you can leave the phone here. Amen. No, just... Wow. Oh, I hope we could see. This is grace. And grace brings us into a righteous life that we could even be with sinners, right? A righteous life, dear saints, is not a life that condemns others. Sometimes, I've experienced this, sometimes I say, oh, I'm saved, I'm enjoying the Lord. Oh, those people, yeah, forget about them, they're going to the lake of fire. That's not righteous. That's not the heart of God, right? We see the Lord here is one with the tax collectors and sinners. And you know what? You know what's in contrast to that? In verse 11, there's other people. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners? Why does he do that? That just bugs us so much. Why would, doesn't he know they're sinful people? How could he be with them? This is not the spirit of a righteous person. This is the spirit of a self-righteous person. So be careful. Be careful. You know how the Lord responded? When he heard this, he said, those who are strong have no need of a physician, but those who are ill. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, the self-righteous, but sinners. The Lord comes as a physician just to heal us. We're sick. We have the flesh. Right? We're living in this world. We all have what Adam has, right? The sickness that no one could cure. But God, His Son, sending as a physician to visit us, to be with us, oh, to heal us. This is righteousness. This is what it looks like. It looks like such a lovely person. So really, really, saints, these words here, these are not just words. What are they? These are just a person. Christ is our faith. Christ is our grace. Amen. And you know what? Christ is our righteousness. Amen. It's just Him. He's everything. He's the all-inclusive Christ. He's the one that you need. In this dark age, you need to find Him. You need to enjoy Him. Now, we have to go on. In one, it says, although we receive Christ as our objective righteousness when we believed in Him, we must still live out Christ as our subjective righteousness day by day. Day by day. This is what the Lord needs today, is so many young people living out Christ. Living out Christ. In two, it says, we should flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness as men of God. This is one of our favorite verses. We flee youthful lust in the age. But what's the first thing that we pursue? Righteousness. Oh, I hope you would love the word righteousness, because it's just Christ. It's just this wonderful person. When you pursue Him, you will be righteous. In three, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, God will grant us the very righteousness we seek, that we may be satisfied. Oh, do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Right? Even through the brother sharing, when we see the world situation, I don't know about you, but many times I tell my wife, Lord, come quickly. We just see the situation in the world. It's just getting darker. Lord, how can we raise our children here? Sometimes we think about, you know what? Maybe we should move to the Midwest. Yeah. Maybe we should move to the Midwest where it's not so dark. Maybe it's not so liberal like California. But you know what? The Lord speaks to us. He says, I need you here. Daniel was in Babylon, but he gave God a way to bring in his recovery. In the midst of the darkness, he needs some. Maybe the Lord will move us. We need to be open to the Lord wherever He wants to go. But you know what? He needs some in Los Angeles who would stand for Him, who would testify of Him, who would live a righteous life in the midst of unrighteousness. He needs some in Westwood. He needs some in La Jolla. He needs some in Goleta. He needs some in Newport Beach. In the midst of all the vanity, right? People just living for themselves, living in their mansions, living with their expensive things. He needs some who would hunger and thirst for righteousness. Amen. Yeah, this is what the Lord needs today. So wherever you are is the best place. Stay where you are until the Lord moves you. Yeah, just be there, right? Just take Him. Just take Him as grace. He will supply you. Now, through His, and letter B, though His generation was evil and filled with violence, Noah was a man who preached righteousness and protested against all the unrighteousness. Today we should speak for God in the same way. On one hand, we should be heralds, official reporters of the good news of the gospel. On the other hand, we should preach God's righteousness over against the corruption of this generation. Like Noah, we should tell people to get right with God, with others, and with themselves, or else God's righteous judgment will come upon them. To express God, we do need to have a proper living, but even more, we need to speak forth clear words. Young people, how about you? How about you? Would you speak forth? In the first part of this outline, we see we need to have a living, a life. We need to enjoy Christ, that He could be lived out through us. But in this part, we see we need to speak. And I'm burdened for you that you would speak. Speak righteousness. We live in an unrighteous society. You go to school, there are unrighteous things. When there's a discussion in English class about some topic, and everybody's saying this and that, would you speak? Would you say something for the Lord? Or would you just sit there silently and let all the ideas go around? Oh, we think this. Oh, we think that. Yeah, this and that. But you have something in you. You have the truth. You have the Word. You have a vision of the age. You know what God wants. Would you speak something? Would you speak up? Noah, he preached righteousness. He protested. He protested. He didn't just say, you know what, whatever you want to do, that's up to you, and I'm going to build the ark. He did build the ark, but he spoke to that generation. He spoke to all those around. I'm building the ark. I want you to build the ark. Right? This is our gospel. If you look at the point there, one is to speak the good news of the gospel. This is to bring others into the ark. Don't you want your friends to be in the ark? We don't want them to perish. Right? We need to go back and get our friends. Bring them into the ark. This is the greatest thing. This is the meaning of our life. Oh, to enjoy grace. We have to preach this gospel, but we also need to preach righteousness. Amen. Righteousness. Don't just allow others to take the forefront, right? Today, you know what's happened? All those who want to practice evil things, their voice is the loudest. Why do these things continue to spread from the colleges to the high schools, to the junior highs, to the elementary schools? Because they speak. They have their agenda. They're allowed to speak. And what do most of the people do? Silent. So that lifestyle, that living, that immorality becomes prevailing. We need to speak. We need to speak. We know that the Lord will always only have a remnant. The whole world will not believe, right? God desires all men to be saved, but God always gains some, right? A remnant, a small number. But we need to speak. We need to speak up. We should not be silent. Even in the, you all are online and so many different postings and blogs, and why wouldn't you speak something? Speak something. You read something, somebody says something, you know that's not right. Why wouldn't you just say something? Just speak up. Speak up. This is what Noah did. Amen. Noah not only built, but he preached. He spoke. God made us to speak for Him. God needs us on our campuses to speak for Him. You say, oh, well, I'm not going to be politically correct. Forget about that. You say, oh, I don't want to make anybody unhappy with me. Can you please everybody all the time? Haven't you realized that yet? It's impossible. So why not just speak the truth? Speak. We're not here to make everybody happy. One day the Lord was touching me. He said, why do you care so much about pleasing people? You just like to please man. Always trying to kind of not rock the boat. Don't want to. He said, look at me. He says, I was despised and rejected by man. This is our Jesus. This is our Savior. This was his life. He was mocked, ridiculed, despised. If we're one with him, the same thing would happen to us. If we're faithful to the Lord, we will have the same experience. If we're not faithful, then everybody will love us, but we're not faithful to Christ. We're not righteous. We need to be righteous in our speaking. Yeah, to speak to others. Speak forth. In Acts 4:20, there's a very good word there. For we cannot but speak. Brothers, sisters, for we cannot but speak. The things which we have seen and heard. Oh, as you go down the mountain, haven't you seen and heard things this weekend? We cannot but speak. Oh, I encourage you, speak. Speak today. Don't wait. Don't say, I'll speak later. No, speak now. Speak while the vision is fresh. Speak it. The more you speak it, the more it will come into being. Oh, we need to speak what we have seen and heard. Now, Noah bore an anti-testimony in the midst of the evil age he lived in. In an age where the tide of this world is downward, we must be able to stand up. Amen. Young people, I'm praying that you could stand up. Amen. And consecrate ourselves voluntarily to be separated persons. Amen. We need to give ourselves to the Lord. In B, we must be blameless and guileless children of God, shining as luminaries in the midst of this crooked and perverted generation. Would you shine? You know, in Matthew, it says, let your light shine. Let it shine. There's something in you that's shining. But would you cover it? Would you conceal it? Would you hide it? You open up your backpack to study with your friends, and out pops a little BFA tract. Oh, oops. What do you do at that moment? You tuck it back underneath. Oops, what was that? Oh, nothing. You didn't let your light shine. What was that? Oh, it's a little offer for a free Bible. Would you like one? You let your light shine. Little things, saints, to let your light shine in little ways, in little many things. Maybe at the end of your email, you just put a little, your name, and you just put a little verse. But Noah found grace. I don't know. Something. Whatever you're enjoying. A little something. I did this. I had a little, in the past, I had my email, and then I put Daniel Bernier, and then I put, you know what I put? I put the words, dispensing chemist. Yeah, because I went to England, and I was walking on the streets in London, and there was a pharmacy, yeah. And it said Dispensing Chemist. I thought, what a great name. It's not called CVS or Walgreens over there. It's called the Dispensing Chemist. Yeah, because they make up, you know, medicines and medications, and they dispense it. So I came back. I said, that's a great signature. So Daniel Bernier, I put Dispensing Chemist. Oh, I sent that email out, and I was at UCI. And there was the chairman of the chemistry department. I sent him an email. He wrote back to me. He said, what do you mean by dispensing chemists? Oh, let me tell you. Woo, that was an opportunity. Yeah, I just got to share with him a little bit. I says, well, that's a good question. I said, on one hand, this means da-da-da, from London, they call it, you know, dispensing chemist. I says, but actually, I like to refer to myself as a dispensing chemist because I want to dispense God into people. I don't just want to be a chemist. I want to be a dispensing chemist. Do you see? There's many ways that we can just speak, that we can just shine. It's not like we see every year in our campuses. Have you seen them? Probably some of our dear brothers. They come with the big banners. You're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus. They're They're protesting. They're speaking out. But they don't have the whole message. They don't have the whole message. They've seen judgment is coming, but they don't have the ark. They don't have the ark. We have to share with our brothers, there's an ark. Yes, God will judge this generation, but there's an ark to get into. Young people, you have the full gospel.
Amen.
You don't just see the world underwater. You see the ark.
Amen.
You see the way of salvation.
Amen.
You have to speak it. Speak it. Tell out. Tell out. Oh, this is what the Lord needs. We need to be those as luminaries. You know what it says right after that, as shining ones? It says holding forth the word of life. Oh, we just need to go and hold it forth. Just hold it forth on our campuses. Shine and hold forth the word of life. Not everyone's going to take it, but some will. Would you like the word of life? Who would take it? Who would hold it forth? Just hold it. We don't know who will take it. Some will. Some will. We need to hold it forth. This is what the Lord needs. Righteousness, in letter C, not only became a boast to Noah, it was also a boast to God. God was able to boast of Noah's righteousness to his enemy and to the crooked and perverse generation. Noah lived a righteous life. Noah preached righteousness. God could look down on that earth and he could say, I have one. Noah alone is righteous in this generation. I believe the Lord can say that about each of our campuses. When I look down at UC Irvine, these ones are righteous. This is a boast to God. Wouldn't you like to be a boast to God? God could boast in you, say there's some at UCSD, at UCLA, right? Wherever we are, UCR, the Lord would have some that he could boast of. Now, if you take this way, and I hope you all will, you can be guaranteed in number two. Noah probably suffered a great deal of mockery during the 120 years that he was preaching righteousness and building and preparing the ark. Likewise, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness by preaching the gospel will be persecuted for the sake of righteousness and for the sake of Christ. So what does that mean? That means this way that we are taking requires a price. It's not cheap. It's not easy. You want to go the easy way? Don't preach righteousness. Don't live out righteousness. Just go along with the tide of the age. But if you want to take this way, then be guaranteed that you will be persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Why? In letter A, the entire world, whether it is the political, religious, educational, commercial, or industrial world, lies in the evil one and is against Christ. The entire world is against Christ. Our brother Brian could share with us. He's had a long human life, and he's seen how this country has changed, right? We haven't lived that long, so we don't maybe appreciate it. We haven't seen the changes. But the whole world lies in the evil one, and every area is becoming more and more dark and is against Christ. You know, in John 15, the Lord told us, verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word which I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they have kept my word, they will keep yours also. So that's a little encouragement there. They will persecute you because they persecuted the Lord. But you know what? There will be some, as we hold forth the word of life, who will keep our words.
Amen.
Isn't this good? We don't know who they are. There's persecutors. There's word keepers. And they're all mixed together. They're all in your class. You just have to go. Just go speak. When you go and you speak, you know what will happen? Persecution. Oh, that's a persecutor. Okay, next. Persecution. All right, another persecutor. Word receiver. Amen.
Amen.
Come in the ark, brother. Amen. Let's go. Let's build the ark.
Amen.
Let's get into the kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, brother. Persecutor. Persecutor. We don't know. Now, all these brothers, of course, are ark builders. Yeah. You got to go speak. It's only through your speaking that you'll know whether they're persecutors or word keepers. You got to speak to them. Then you'll know who they are. But you know what's amazing? Sometimes those persecutors become word keepers.
Amen.
Oh, Saul of Tarsus, a great persecutor, the top persecutor, number one persecutor, became the number one word follower.
Amen.
Oh, what can do this? Grace.
Amen.
Grace can change a man.
Amen.
From a persecutor to a word keeper to an ark builder. Oh, this is too good. This is too good. So you have to go. You have to speak. Now, I read you these verses from John 15 and John 16. You know why the Lord spoke this? Verse 16, 1. These things I have spoken to you, that the world will hate you, you will be persecuted. Why? So that you would not be stumbled. Dear young people, do not be stumbled. Do not be when you're persecuted, when you're mocked, when they say evil things about you that are not true, do not be stumbled. The Lord already told us. It's in the Bible. He told us it would happen. Do not be stumbled. And I would say, do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. Continue to speak. Continue to speak. This is what the Lord needs. He needs ones that would speak for Him. In Acts 5, it says, the disciples, the apostles, were being persecuted by the Sanhedrin. They went and they told them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And when they left, they said, sorry, we have to obey God, not man. And it says in Acts 5:41, they went from the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be dishonored on behalf of the name. Are you worthy to be dishonored on behalf of the name? If you live righteousness, if you speak righteousness, you will be dishonored. And this is something to rejoice about. The Lord told us that we have a reward. Let me get to this point here. If we live by Christ, for Christ, and with Christ, we will surely be reproached and evil spoken of, mostly by the religious people who hold on to their traditional religious concepts. It's amazing. You read the book of Acts. It wasn't the sinners. It wasn't the tax collectors. It was the Pharisees, Sadducees. It was those who were religious, who couldn't take the speaking in the name of Jesus. They wanted to kill Jesus. They thought they did. And now He's living again in all of His disciples, His apostles. Man, they were really bummed out by that. So everywhere Paul went, they followed him. They followed. He would preach the gospel. They sow evil reports. They would poison the minds. Poison the minds. Oh, these guys. Oh, watch out for them. Ooh, cult. Ooh, bad people. Ooh, don't do that. Don't follow those people. Wherever we go, there will be an evil report if we're faithful to the Lord. If we're not faithful, if we don't preach righteousness, if we don't live righteousness, then no persecution. But if when the Lord on your campus has a prevailing work, enemy will fight. If the enemy's not fighting, you need to pray more that the Lord will be more prevailing. Because this is what happens. We see this again and again. But don't be discouraged. Don't be stumbled. Just get together with your companions. Continue to pray and be encouraged with each other. Now, letter C says, we need to pay a price for the righteousness we seek for the kingdom of the heavens. If we seek righteousness at a cost, our reward will be great in the heavens, for the kingdom of the heavens becomes ours. The kingdom of the heavens becomes ours. This is the way we need to live, is to seek righteousness and to live a righteous life. Let me see, I think I had one verse, yes. In Matthew 5:12, rejoice and exult, for your reward is great in the heavens. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. They persecuted the prophets. They will persecute you. Now, in Roman numeral 3, let's read together the last point. While Noah was preaching righteousness to his generation, he was building the ark against the tide of his generation. By preparing the ark, he condemned the world. And when the flood came upon the ungodly generation, Noah and his family were protected, preserved, and saved, and were ushered into a new age. I hope you all would be those who would build and who would speak. Build and speak. Lastly, I'd just like to remind you about a few things that we fellowship this weekend. I'll just use these words that we have here. Faith. All right? We need faith in order to enjoy grace and then have a life of righteousness. Where does faith come from? We said earlier, faith comes from the Word. So I leave you with the Word. Just as you shared in the afternoon time, every day read the Word. Every day get the Word. Take in the Word. Read the Word. Pray, read the Word. Consider the Word. Get into the helps that open the Word. The ministry. Right? You have to have the Word. If you're going to be a Noah today, if you're going to turn the age, you have to have faith. And faith comes through that Word. You get that Word, the veils roll away. The world is exposed. You see the ark and you build it. You don't get into the Word. The vision starts to become dim. Maybe it's okay. Maybe the brothers are too much. Just go and enjoy the world. But every day you take the Word, you will have faith. Then, grace. So the Word brings us faith. Grace, where do we get grace? Yesterday we saw the throne. Throne of grace, right? And the meetings. Throne of grace, what is that? That's in our spirit. I would encourage each one of you to have a time with the Lord. You have to spend time. Just as we mentioned at the beginning, grace time, face time. Spend some time with Him every day. You can't make it without that. You can't make it without grace. Grace is just this lovely person who's in your spirit. Just love Him. Just sing to Him. Just enjoy Him. If you do, you will have grace. And grace will bring you into righteousness. Then come to the meetings, right? Maybe you come to some of the meetings now. Open to the Lord. Lord, what about the meetings? Lord, what about the prayer meeting? What about a group meeting? Right? Open to the Lord, that the Lord would lead you more into this church life. Right? This is where we build together. For sure, there's no way you can make it by yourself. Don't take this word this weekend and say, all that you have said, I will do. Guaranteed failure. Yeah. Say, Lord, by your grace, build me with the saints. Amen. This is the way to turn the age. And then lastly, righteousness. Righteousness is for us to live, and righteousness is for us to preach. Preach. Speak. Yeah. So the Word. Be in the Word every day. Come to the throne of grace in your spirit. Be in the meetings. and speak the word. Speak the word in the meetings. Speak the word outside the meetings. Speak the word in the mirror. Speak the word in the shower. Speak the word to your cat. Yeah, why not? They all need the word. All creation. Right? When Noah was saved, he saved the whole creation. When you build the ark, you don't got to worry about the puppies. They're going to be saved. All the problems will be solved when you build the ark. Isn't that good? Yeah, God, He loves everyone. He loves all living things. Okay, so let's read the focus, and then the brothers will lead us.